How much do you trust in the Lord? How well do you hold fast to the Lord? I want us to look at a king this morning that is an example for us to follow so that we can be pleasing to our Lord. So please open your Bibles to to 2 Kings 19. I want us to look at Hezekiah. Let's start in 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it, and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered him wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So here we see in our text that Hezekiah was a man who had no equal. He was the best king who ever reigned in Judah. And Hezekiah was a man full of energy and courage. He was a wise and active person. He had a religious disposition. And as we look at Hezekiah, he's somebody that we should be observe his remarkable life, especially in view of his background. Because notice in verse 1, it says he was the son of Ahaz. The son of Ahaz. If we turn back in 2 Kings to chapter 16, and let's look at his father. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire according to the abomination of the nations, whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. So what was Hezekiah's father like? He worshipped idols. He was an idol worshiper. Yet here we find Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord. We don't know who influenced him. Maybe his mother did. We don't know. Maybe Isaiah influenced him to follow God. We don't know. Maybe he just saw how people were so wrapped up in idolatry and thought this cannot be the way God wants us to live. But it does tell us in 2 Kings 18 of his faithfulness, his fidelity. And in spite of his father, he served Jehovah. He couldn't point back to his father for his faithfulness. But then he couldn't point back to his father to be unfaithful either. Because you see, we all stand on our own two feet. Now certainly, if someone is not a God-fearing person, it's going to be harder for their children to be God-fearing. But we all stand on our own two feet. And sometimes we blame people. We make excuses for them. And we will point back to their family. Well, you don't know how they were raised. You don't know what kind of environment they grew up in. And we try to justify ourselves or others in the church because we point to some other thing other than their own will. Their mother, their dad weren't Christians. You got to understand that. That's why they do the way they do. We can't use that as an excuse. we can't overlook someone's lack of commitment to the Lord on the way they were brought up. The Lord's not going to accept excuses. And it's interesting, too, we see that his father was an idol worshiper. Hezekiah is a faithful follower of God, none like him. Nobody else is like him. But then what happens with his son Manasseh? His son Manasseh goes back and starts following after idols again. In chapter 21, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of the heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. And it goes on talking about the things that he did. But we see with Hezekiah, all of us are accountable to God for how we live our lives. We're the only person that we are accountable for. And Hezekiah should be a constant reminder to each and every one of us. If we had a bad background, a bad upbringing, we can overcome that. We can't use that as an excuse, and we can serve the Lord faithfully. So when we look at this man and his strengths, in verse 3 of 2 Kings 18, it says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father David had done. Here is a man again of action. He did what was right in the sight of God. That implies, did he care what men thought? He didn't care what men thought. He didn't try to please men, but what Jehovah said. What does Jehovah think? And so the record says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And friends, we've got to look at what the Lord wants us to do, what Jehovah wants us to do, and not be concerned about what man wants us to do. We don't have room for 100 different things bouncing around in our head when men tell us different things. We just need to be focused on what does Jehovah want us to do. Again, in verse 4, he removed the high places, broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Here we see that he was a reformer. Hezekiah wanted to take things back to the way they had been. And again, he did it immediately when he became king of Judah. If we go to 2 Chronicles 29, where we see where he began reigning. In 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. So he was a young man in a big position. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah. It goes again talking about he did what was right. In verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from this holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him. They have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They've also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, to jeering as you see with your eyes. And again, here, as we talked about in class this morning, with confession, he mentions the things that they had done wrong. And basically, the temple had been full of rubbish. It was unholy. We've got to clean this place up. We've got to get back to worshiping God like he wants us to. He didn't hesitate. He didn't postpone. He got busy. He hurried to open the temple of God and to restore it. And it says that he broke in pieces the brass serpent that Moses had made. Now that brass serpent had been around for about 800 years. And there was a purpose for it back in the wilderness when the people disobeyed God and he sent fiery serpents among them. They were bitten, and Moses made this brass serpent and lifted it up, which was a foreshadowing of Christ's coming, where Christ would be lifted up. And if the people looked on that serpent, they would live. If they didn't look on that serpent, they would die. Well, it served a purpose back then, but what did the people do? They hung to it. They kept on to it. They didn't want to let go of it. And they started worshiping it. They started worshiping this brass serpent. They were burning incense to it. That's one of those incidental things that served a purpose. And again, people get distracted and they start focusing on the incidental instead of on what's important. Do we do that today? Some places do. Some places they might worship the Lord's table, not the Lord's Supper, but the physical table. Oh, do you know where this came from? Do you know who had this? They make that their focus. Some might make the baptistry their focus. And there's nothing wrong with having a painting or doing something with it, but you know, we've got to do something really nice. And I've seen places get caught up in what kind of drapes they're going to put up or how they're going to have the lighting. When I was in my early 20s, I visited a place with one of my buddies. And it was the first time I had seen they had a glass front where you could see both people going down into the pool and where they were baptized. And that was like a novelty. You don't want to get distracted by the incidentals. Was there power in this brass serpent? There is power in God. The power was in God. We don't want to get our focus off of God. We don't want to get distracted, and people will get distracted. And Hezekiah tried to get them back to God. Some people might take this Bible and worship the Bible. Not the message of the Bible, but the physical Bible. Have you ever been to a house? I imagine most of us have. We've gone in and seen somebody that has a big Bible on their coffee table. And if you have Catholic friends, they have like this giant Bible on their table. They're worshiping the Bible. Is that where God wants our Bibles? Does he? And you know, it's like people, they see the Bible and they think, well, if it's out in the center of her house, they look at it like a good luck charm or something. Is that where God wants his word, is laying on our coffee table? Where does he want it? He wants it in our hearts. He wants it in our minds. He wants us to live out his word so people can see it, so they read his word in us. So we draw people. We draw people with his word, just like John the Baptist was drawing multitudes. So I've got to ask myself, if I'm not drawing, I don't have to draw multitudes. If I'm not drawing, if I'm not attracting people to Christ, do I have God's word in my heart? People were focusing on the wrong things. Friends, we need to focus on the Lord. Nehemiah had faith in God. In verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were nor who were before him. We trust in God. We give that lip service. We say we're faithful to God. He trusted totally and wholly after Jehovah. We've got to have that kind of faith where we say, here I am, Lord. You rule over me. You take control. That's the kind of attitude that we need today. That's the kind of attitude that I need today. And I tell you what, two of the ways to have that attitude is to spend as much time as we can in God's Word and talk to Him as much as we can in prayer. And if I'm facing a challenge in life, it's usually due to one of two things. I'm either not praying to God enough or not spending enough time in His Word. And when we spend more time in His Word and we pray to Him more, our faith is going to be stronger and we can put complete trust in Him. We sing the song sometimes, would you live for Jesus? The answer should be yes. We should live for Jesus completely, wholly. So Hezekiah was obedient to Jehovah. And he saw that in order to sustain his relationship with God, he had to keep his commandments. It's not, again, enough just to give lip service. We've got to get close to God's Word. We have to know God's Word. And then we have to demonstrate God's Word to show respect for God. It's just, you go back to a physical example with an earthly father. Our father tells us to do something. He says, do you understand that? We shake our head like this, and then we go and we do the opposite. That's not showing respect to our earthly father. With God, He tells us to do something, and we shake our head like this, and then we go and we do something else. And that's not respecting our Heavenly Father. So here is this king of Judah. He had these great qualities. None was like him before or after him, the kings of Judah. And as a result of that, look at verse 7. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So God made him to prosper. Was this just for Hezekiah? Is he the only one that God did this for? Friends, so many times I think we think the Bible was written for somebody else instead of it was written for you and it was written for me. And friend, if we serve God, if we will obey His commandments, if we will get the idols out of our hearts, if we will do what is right in the sight of the Lord, God will bless us too. He will bless us. The manifold blessings of God. He blesses us so much and we just take them for granted. But He will bless us richly. A lot of times we forfeit blessings that we could have because we don't ask for them. We do not ask for them. But if we walk in His way, the Lord will be with us just as He was with Hezekiah, and He blessed him. Does that mean He's going to make us rich? No, but He's going to bless us. He might bless us in so many different and better ways that we couldn't even imagine. But He will richly supply our needs and bless us in Jesus Christ if we follow Him. We see not only his strength, His trust, but when He had a problem, He would lay everything out before God, again, going to Him in prayer. And we'll see that in chapter 19. But notice in chapter 18, down around verse 28, here the king of Assyria, it's like we've read other places in the Old Testament. They want to take over another people. They want some kind of treaty. They want to surrender. But in verse 28, then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me. So the king of Assyria is asking for surrender. Make peace for me, and every one of you eat from his own vine and from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land, your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? So here we have a threat from the king of Assyria to Hezekiah. You better surrender me. You better surrender to me. And really, when he was threatening Hezekiah, he was threatening God. And Isaiah hears about this, and Isaiah reassures him in chapter 19 and verse 6. And Isaiah said to them, thus ye shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. So again, when someone is speaking against God's people, they are speaking against God. And what does God, what's God going to do? Look in verse, chapter 19, verse 28. And because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you come. To me, this is funny. You know, the king of Assyria comes and threatens Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and tells all the people, you better surrender because nobody's been able to stand up to us. And what's the message that goes back? God's going to take a hook and put in your nose and a bridle in your lips, and he's just going to turn you around and he's going to send you back. Stop blaspheming God. But what happens when we get overwhelmed with life and we think, oh, how can I make it? What am I going to do? We've got to trust in God. It's one of the great lessons from Hezekiah. We've got to trust in God. And with this, before he got the job done, he slew by an angel of the Lord 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And why was this? This was because of the prayer of Hezekiah. It was because of the prayer of Hezekiah that he prayed to God. In chapter 19, back up to verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. So when Hezekiah has this letter, he takes it out and he spreads it out. He turns it over to the Lord. He turns it over to the Lord. What does the Bible say about prayer? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do we believe that? Do we think about that with ourselves? two of the, I was trying to find some songs in our songbook, and a couple of them I was looking for aren't in there, but Did You Think to Pray is one of them that's in the book. How many times do we forget to pray? And The Sweet Hour of Prayer. But you think about Elijah. Now, Elijah prayed, and God did not send rain for how long? For 3 years. And then when Elijah prayed, he sent prayer. Hezekiah, God heard Elijah's prayer. God heard Hezekiah's prayer. Does he hear our prayer? I hope every one of us says absolutely. He hears our prayers, but we have to offer them. We have to do like Hezekiah and go and take our letters, our troubles, our problems, and spread them out before the Lord. One of the songs, and I couldn't find this one, but one of the verses, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." We carry a lot of things to God. We've got to carry everything to Him. You think about Jesus. The night that He was betrayed, what did He do? He went to His Heavenly Father in prayer. When the church in Jerusalem was undergoing persecution, what did they do? They came together and prayed. When Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight, what were they doing? They were singing hymns and praying. They were praying. And Paul writes when he was in prison later in Rome to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In talking to people, sometimes I get the impression that people think that everything in this life is fixed. You can't change it. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that's a wrong idea when you read the Bible. God wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to pray to Him. And I would suggest we get in that habit and we pray to God every day, and we start off praying about little things, because friends, sometimes something's going to come along that's really big and we need God to hear our prayer. Did Hezekiah have anything like that happen in his life? Well, notice in chapter 20 and verse 1. "In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David.'" What if you went to the doctor and the doctor told you, "You've got a month to live. Set your house in order." What would you do? Would you pray to God? Or would you think, nothing can happen, it can't be changed? Would you pray to God? Something aside from prayer to think about, Isaiah says, the Lord says, "Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Just think about that phrase, setting your house in order. Do you know how we can die with our house set in order? We have to live with our house set in order. Because we can't wait till we get to the end of our life and then try to set our life in order right at the last. We have to live where our life is set in order. Friends, he told Hezekiah, you're going to die. You're not going to live. Was that shocking news to Hezekiah? It was. What if I said that to everyone here this morning? You're going to die? You're not going to live? And a lot of people, you know, well, what do you mean? I'm going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. And we need to set our house in order. If God had told me that today, that I was going to die, to set my house in order, do you know what I would do? If I were not a Christian, I would become a Christian. There wouldn't be anything that could stop me from becoming a Christian. And when you read about the examples of conversion in the Bible, the ones that obeyed, now there were some that went away or said, more convenient time, but those that obeyed, they knew they needed to obey. They didn't drink a drop of water, take a wink of sleep. They didn't go and do anything else. They obeyed the gospel right then. They didn't put it off. If I knew I was going to die and I wasn't a Christian, that's what I would do. If I was a Christian and I knew I was going to die, you know what I would do? I would be at every service I possibly could. I wouldn't miss it for any reason if I was able to be here. I would be here to worship God because I know I'm going to meet Him. You know, David, that song we were singing beyond with the Jordan River, that too is reference where we cross over the Jordan to enter into heaven, the promised land. And we're all going to cross over the Jordan. I would not miss a service being here. If I knew I was going to die, I would study my Bible. I would study it as much as I could. I would pray to God as much as I could. I would talk to people as much as I could. Because what's our job here? We're laborers in the vineyard. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and He went back to heaven. He gave that job to us. I would be doing that as much as I could. But again, friends, we all know we're going to die. We need to learn the lesson of Hezekiah. And with Hezekiah, he was told he was going to die. Friends, we know unless the Lord comes first, we are going to die, but we don't know when that'll be. This might be our last day. And again, as was mentioned, there have been several deaths in the families of members that are here, and it's going to happen to all of us. And Hezekiah prayed to God, and God added 15 years to his life. He asked for a sign. And what did he ask for? For the sundial to go back 10 degrees on the sundial. Can God do that? Sure. If God can speak this universe into existence, He can do anything. We see the power of God. We see the power of prayer when we are faithful. When we are faithful. Hezekiah is an example for each of us to follow. He trusted in God and he was faithful. Friend, do you trust in God? Are you faithful to God? Is your house in order? If not, friends, don't wait till when you think you might die someday. Get your house in order. Get your house in order today. Make your life right with God today. And if we can assist you in any way, being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.